I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 7th, 2026. There's not a whole lot left to say. All the arguments have been played out and displayed. All of the consequences have been thought through and predictions made about what's to come over the next 7 to 10 months in terms of where America First and MAGA is going. I've lost hundreds of followers. I've lost hundreds of subscribers. I've lost most of my paid subscribers who voluntarily were supporting the channel. Apparently, support for this channel was tied to a cargo cult or a cult of personality that revolved around the personage of President Donald Trump. I'm not in a cargo cult. I'm not in a cult of personality. I believe in ideas, I believe in promises, and I believe that they should be kept, and I believe the world is on the precipice of a disaster. And I don't have a whole lot of hope that the outcome of today, even if there's some kind of delay, if Trump flip-flops again, which he has had a tendency to do. There's a lot of people who are in denial about that fact, but the deadlines keep getting extended because there are limits to American power projection. Trump is running into them. And with his latest threat, a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen. This is the president, of course. But it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, I'm going to stop there. Because there is no regime change. This is probably the core delusion that President Trump is under. The Iranian regime, the Islamic Republic, survives. It keeps filling the holes in leadership that Israeli and American forces create because it's functional. Regimes in control. As we speak right now, as reported in all non-Western sources, the Iranian people are spontaneously, once again, gathering in cities to show support for a regime that they may have hated only a month and a half ago, gathering to form human chains around power plants and on bridges, forcing the Americans spontaneously to have to kill and commit war crimes on a scale that I don't think U.S. forces have committed, at least in the last 20 years. Not on the right side of history here, folks. We're not on the virtuous side if you support this endeavor. The entire promise of Trump was to stop the forever wars and to bring peace to the world. And instead, he's promising to end a civilization. God bless the people of Iran is how he finishes this. A civilization is first and foremost its people. It's also locality. It's also culture. But when you threaten a civilization, you threaten all 90 million members of it. You've threatened Persian civilization. He's delusional. He's either lost his mind or he never had it. And I don't know how you can be a decent person, a person that has any semblance of humanity, and support the president in his public messaging and in this endeavor. And here's why I don't really think there's any chance that there will be a different outcome. U.S. strikes Iran's Karg Island as Trump threatens to end whole civilization. Explosions have reportedly rocked the strategic Iranian energy hub, which handles about 90% of the country's oil exports. As much as there seems to be a PR effort to signal that there's still negotiations and hope for peace, every opportunity the Israelis primarily get, but also the Americans get, to violate an Iranian red line or commit some new war crime, they seem to take it. I don't think they want peace. I think they want total war, which is why you would do this. Karg Island is one of Iran's red lines, and they have threatened retaliation outside of the region if they're violated. Now, I want to make that clear too, and it should be clear, that when it comes to climbing the escalatory ladder, the Iranians have never fired first. Since they've been aggressed, since war has been brought to them twice under a flag of diplomacy, again, this is not defending the Iranian regime, it's just making a statement about what is. This is a war of aggression on the part of the Israelis and the United States. They've been aggressed against, and in spite of being aggressed against, they have not been casting the first stones or throwing the first stones when it comes to escalation. They respond in kind, and they have the entire time. It's part of their strategy. This is part of their effort to win diplomacy by being restrained. However, they've said the gloves are about to come off. They will strike everything everywhere, and they will send the global economy into hell if the United States makes good on its threat to end their civilization. And what is Trump talking about? If he can end and destroy all bridges, destroy all power plants, destroy all energy infrastructure, and he says it'll be done in less than 4 hours. Considering we're now at day 38, I believe it's day 38 today of this war, and how Hegseth and Trump have said the level of destruction, every single day the level of destruction is more than the previous days. How do you get more destruction? How do you fill more destruction in 4 hours into what you've accomplished over 38 days? Except by nuclear means. Is he threatening nuclear weapons against the Iranian people? And this isn't like a, it's not a hyperbole thing. It's just using my brain. How do you accomplish the objective of destroying the entire nation within 4 hours? The only means that I can think of are nuclear weapons. Is that what's on the table here? He's repeatedly said that not much is off the table. It's wild, man. The political rhetoric in Israel is one of escalation. Israeli soldiers killed Iranians, expecting more escalation from the United States. Why wouldn't they? The whole war has been escalation. The Pakistanis who are trying to mediate. Let's just read this. Israel is said to be the biggest detractor of peace in this war. Right after Trump's social media post, I spoke to an official in Pakistan who told me that until a few hours ago, there was hope of something concrete on the table. The Pakistanis were hopeful that things were heading in a direction that could lead to de-escalation. But four things happened in quick succession. The Israeli strike on Iranian railways, an attack on an Israeli consulate in Istanbul, the attack on Saudi oil facilities, and finally, a social media post by Trump. According to the Pakistani source, there are essentially detractors in both camps within the Iran's IRGC and obviously within the U.S. who do not want any prospects of peace. This source told me that the biggest detractor of all is Israel. It does not want the U.S. to come out of this war. Israel only wants an escalation, a perpetual war in which the region inevitably gets involved and there is infighting. As I've said this entire time, once America committed to a full-scale aerial war in Iran, the Israelis would do everything in their power to make sure that a negotiated settlement was never achieved because they lack the manpower and they lack the means to prosecute the region-wide war that they so desire. They want to dominate, and they can only do it if American blood and treasure is sacrificed in that goal. And when the United States is done, when America First and MAGA have been sacrificed and destroyed, the Israelis will move on and leave the United States, its taxpayers, and the people who were hopeful of a strong, renewed national focus, a focus on America First, those people who spent 10 years building the movement up. They'll be happy to leave those people in the lurch, holding the bag, while they move on in their superior position. This idea of eternal friendship between the Israelis and the United States, it's a myth. The Israelis will move on. And I want to take an opportunity to remind people that Russia and China are still out there, just waiting in the wings, more than happy to watch America sink its empire in the rocks of the Zagros. There were 11 of the 15 members of the Security Council that voted for it. This is the, with UN vetoes, Russia and China show staunch support for Iran. This was a vote that would initially call for Article 7, which would have given member states authorization to use force to open the Strait of Hormuz, and Russia and China were very much against that. That's why negotiations went on for so long, and the language was changed. Ultimately, what was voted on today was a version that strongly encouraged states interested in the use of Strait of Hormuz for commercial maritime routes to coordinate efforts in a defensive manner. That's much different from using force. Behran was hopeful that this would be enough to get Russia and China to at least abstain and allow this resolution to pass, but that did not come to pass. That even though Russia and China are not directly aiding with men and troops and military assets that we know of, they probably are. They're certainly sharing intelligence. They're clearly still standing behind Iran, as Iran does most of the dying. Probably not the defensive relationship Iran was hoping for out of its allies. But each second, each minute that passes by, the strengthening of the hand of America's adversary increases. And I keep seeing people repeating the nonsense that they're getting from Tusi and Promethean, that this is all a master Machiavellian plan, and America has all the cards. And meanwhile, every single day, more and more oil is being traded in yuan, not the petrodollar. Let's listen to Lindsey Graham, one of our favorite crazy people in the U.S. government. Remember, Lindsey Graham is one of those people who violently and vociferously opposed the rise of Trump in 2016. People forget. People have absolutely forgotten history, how all these neocons hated Trump, and now they are his principal allies. They surround him every single day, and they're controlling his foreign policy, and they're controlling this war.
And they're taking the yuan, not the dollar. One threat of this whole debacle is if we start allowing the Chinese currency to be traded in oil, that will hurt the dollar. In 1974, every barrel of oil sold and traded in the world is traded in dollars. Now, what are the Iranians trying to do? They're trying to change the currency from a dollar to a Chinese yuan, and that's an attack on the dollar. And that needs to end, too.
This is a lying, evil man. Until this war of aggression started, the status quo reigned in the Middle East. The petrodollar was still in control. It's the war itself. It's the assault on Iran that accelerated the process of nations using yuan to buy oil. It's an inversion of reality. There was a potential threat, yes, from the BRICS, acknowledged by the president and his vice president, that there was a emerging multipolar order. Remember, it was Donald Trump who abandoned the term G7, abandoned the term G20, and came up with the term G2. People can't seem to hold it all together in their heads. He said China and the United States are the G2. It was an acknowledgement of the necessity of a multipolar order. That acknowledgement, that reorganization of the global order, was hopefully to be achieved through peaceful means, through a voluntary reorganization of American power. From the withdrawal from NATO's war of aggression in Ukraine, which is what it is, when you overthrow a duly elected government and you commit all your time and treasure to a war in a non-EU, non-NATO member state, and you do everything in your power to try and bring all of NATO together to fight Russia in Ukraine. I mean, I don't know what else you call it. NATO's been the expansionist power. It's not a defensive alliance. It was NATO that killed Gaddafi. It's been NATO that's been interfering in politics a long way from the North Atlantic. And this was the stuff that Trump talked about. These were the ideas. These were the principles. I'm not talking about my own beliefs. I'm talking about beliefs that Trump expressed that I aligned with that have now been abandoned. Now, it's been a long month and a bit. This is going to be a short video because I want to be an observer today. I want to be just like you. I want to wait and see what happens. I can tell you that I wouldn't change anything with the sacrifice that I've made. I had a message that came in from a fellow content creator this morning. I haven't heard from him in a long time, and he said that he deeply respected the stance that I've taken because it's the right stance to take, and he obviously sees what it's costing me. And I wouldn't change it. If I had it to do over again, I'd do it exactly the same way that I'm doing it now. I'd burn my entire social media presence to the ground. So I'm not a narcissist. I'm not an egomaniac. I'm here to try and do what's right. And I'm here to try to warn people about the consequences of actions. Warn people about the consequences of falling victim to a cult of personality. And you're seeing it in my comment section. You're seeing it on Twitter every day. As people circle the wagon of Trump, they're not uniting behind the Constitution. They're not uniting behind the United States. They're not uniting behind the ideas that made MAGA, that made America first, that built it over the last decade. They're not uniting behind those things. They're uniting behind a flawed man who is threatening to end a civilization through a war of aggression, who actually, literally, now has more in common with Hitler and Stalin than at any point in the last 10 years. This is exactly how tyrants behave. Using superior weaponry to threaten to kill an entire people, which is what a threat to a civilization actually is. And there are morons that will comment on this video and morons that will comment on my other work, and they will say that this is how you free a people. that the Iranians are begging for those bombs, Trump's words. They want to be bombed into oblivion because they're so desperate for the end of the regime. I am not capable of jamming my head that far up my backside. I can't put my head that deep in the sand. It's impossible for me because things are what they are. And in a year's time, when there's nothing left of MAGA, when there's nothing left of America First, when under the best case scenario, you're dealing with impeachment hearings and the regime, sorry, can't call it a regime, that is inaccurate, the administration and its people are being hauled before Congress to answer for this, to answer for the destruction of the global economy, to answer for war crimes. I will have at least been on the record warning you that that's exactly what would happen. People treat me like I'm some kind of enemy of Donald Trump and I'm an enemy of America First. You people were more than happy to follow along when I was making the same, when I was applying the same degree of reason, the same degree of rationality to say that a lot of the knee-jerk reaction of the woke left against America First and MAGA was just that, a reaction, an emotion. Opposition to things that made sense. You were more than happy to listen to me when I was saying those things. Things which, by the way, I haven't stopped saying. My views haven't changed. They're still consistent. I've been opposed to the idea of a great big war in the Middle East since Trump came along and rightly called out the Bushes and the Lindsey Grahams. Called out these neocons, so much so that they formed super PACs. They opposed him. Take a moment and listen to the things that Marco Rubio had to say about Donald Trump in 2016. And then consider that these very same figures now surround Trump. They're now part of his government. They're his right hands. And tell me that something hasn't happened, something drastic hasn't changed, that something hasn't gone off, and that it threatens the entire project. My own personal views of my own country, my own personal views of North America, are assisted by a strong America First agenda. But that agenda's gone. It's being sacrificed. It's being spat upon by the very person, the embodiment, the man who was supposed to lead it, the man whose wisdom he now lives in defiance of. And that's how it is. And that's how it ends. Today, at least. So I'm going to be dialed in all day. There's nothing else that I can possibly do. There's no more important thing on this earth right now except what transpires in the next 24 hours in the Middle East. It's where I think everybody's attention should be. And as people run for their lives and wither under a hail of bombs, as thousands have died, and as millions more will die as a consequence of this, it's not hyperbole, the politics of fertilizer, the politics of famine are going to play out, and that much is baked in as we sit here on April 7th. The world gets further and further away from normalcy. If this is to be the end of frankvaughn.com, and all of the work that I've done trying to sound this alarm, create this warning, and tell this truth, then it's a worthy sacrifice. I'll see you in the next one.